special lady. I think it's time for a little one-on-one conversation. Talking about my baby, baby. Not you, baby. Our baby, baby. In recent scientific studies of lactation. Magical lady, gotta get down to business. Gonna turn the lights down real low for a slideshow on childhood disease resistance. Wonderful woman, if you do breastfeed, a little baby will be at less risk for respiratory illnesses. Hey, I'm just talking about breastfeeding. Educate your sweet self at 800-994-WOMAN or 4woman.gov or talk to your healthcare provider. Babies were born to be breastfed exclusively for 6 months. This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station, baby.
The countdown will begin this Sunday afternoon at 1, right here on the radio station you grew up with, Music Radio 138. Oh,
oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
What's this? What's this? There's color everywhere. What's this? There's white things in the air. What's this? I can't believe my eyes. I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack. This isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? The sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, it is this place that I have found. What is this?
Oh my God, what is that?
Thank you. You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. What is this?
What is this?
This is the world's worst orchestra, Derek.
What is this?
This is the Portsmouth Sinfonia from 1973. They produced an album. They produced a couple albums, actually. It was either non-musicians that decided to pick up an instrument and try to play, or actual musicians who played instruments that were not normally what they were good at.
Nice.
And they cut an album. They have all kinds of good stuff under there. This is the William Tell Overture in the background, and we had the theme from 2001, A Space Odyssey, at the beginning there, and in the middle, I believe it was the Hall of the Mountain King. Very good stuff.
Outstanding.
Yeah, this is very good stuff. It's literally like taking a whole bunch of silverware and throwing it down the stairs.
Sweet.
But there's some great stuff in here. You just have a string. You hear the strings breaking. You hear horns at inappropriate times.
I hear horns at inappropriate times constantly. Should I see a doctor about that?
In regular life, you do?
Yeah.
So Brian Eno actually was in this orchestra at one point and played along with them. Who was, again, a producer for U2 and David Bowie.
Seems like a very Brian Eno thing to do.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I thought this would be a fun one for What's This Today, because in driving along, you're like, oh, some nice classical music. Wait a second.
Yeah.
No, this is things that nightmares are made of. This is the theme from 2020. The year 2020. The show 2020.
Well, this is also what you hear if you go to, like, the town 4th of July celebration.
That's true. Yeah, you would think it was like a bunch of students, but it's actually not.
Yeah.
There's actually some talented musicians in there.
And by the way, I don't mean to bag on anybody who's playing in the town 4th of July celebration, but let's all be honest about the quality of the music, the quality of the band at the town 4th of July celebration.
True. In the background, I got the Bridge Over Troubled Water by Portsmouth Symphony. Let's talk about our week. I went and saw Avatar. I enjoyed it. I didn't really like the first hour, but I liked the last two.
Oh, that's good. So 2 out of 3 hours isn't bad, is what you're saying.
Here, going to give you a little review. It was about 3 hours and 30 minutes. It took them, 14 years to make it. I could have waited 7 for a 90-minute movie.
Sure.
And I'd seen it before. It was Aliens. It was Titanic.
I like those movies.
It was Star Wars, the pod racer scene.
I didn't like that so much.
It was... the end of Titanic when they get stuck in the boat.
Nice.
It's literally James Cameron kind of doing his greatest hits, but it's also Jaws, and it's also Moby Dick, and it's also the New England Aquarium where family gets together.
Nice.
It's good. It's still not my favorite of the best pitches. I'm still going with Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I still don't think is a great picture, but it is a great movie.
Does someone survive by floating on a piece of wood while refusing to allow anyone else to get on board?
He floats on a whale. So yes.
Can't they breathe underwater? Isn't that the thing that the Na'vi do? Don't they do that?
The forest Na'vi don't know how to breathe underwater.
No, that's a problem.
The water Na'vi teach them how to breathe underwater. Here's the other
thing.
That's
a mistake.
It's two movies. It's been 6 hours. I still couldn't name you one Na'vi.
Yep.
I know Sigourney Weaver's in there at one point, and in this part she's part of the tree that's underwater, or she's part of the tree that's in the forest. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of people in there that are like right out of Aliens. There's like a military operation that want to get like liquid gold from like the brain of a whale.
It seems to me you could solve all the problems on this planet, which apparently is controlled by a single tree, with some termites.
In this case, they're in the water.
Yeah, but I mean, for all the military termites strategy that goes on in these movies, why doesn't somebody just huck a box of termites at the tree and wait a couple days?
What I don't understand is they have all this equipment, and they say it's all paid for by the government, and then they get all this liquid gold from the whale, and it's basically stuff that's in the whale's brain, and it stops people from aging. Ooh. And they say that one vial of it from one whale is worth $800 million, and I'm like, well, this is 300 years in the future. $800 million is probably like $100,000.
Yeah,
and it just cost them about $400,000 in order to hunt this thing down with all the equipment they're using. So I don't know, that part didn't make much sense to me. But the story itself is kind of blah. I think it's got a lot of good things to say about nature and family. It does get it is good. I mean, you get invested in the characters a little bit. I enjoyed it. It was worth seeing. It's worth seeing once in the movies. It's definitely a an expensive thing to watch, but it's very, very blue.
Yeah.
And very, very green.
Yeah.
It's very, very blue this round.
Yeah.
But it's a whole bunch of movies that I had seen before and a whole lot of boring for a little while. And what's funny is the first hour, which was all action, I'm like, I'm bored with this right now. The first hour I was bored with. But as soon as they get to the water planet, it's cool. But they like hiding to get away from the military. And where do they hide? They go and they find their sea brothers and they put them at risk.
And of course, the military come
and take out the sea people. But great battle at the end.
That's why, if you've seen Wakanda Forever, you're the sea people. You don't let anyone know that you're there.
Yeah.
Because you don't let people know that you're there.
You know what my favorite people are? The sand people.
The sand people.
From Star Wars.
They know what's going on.
My favorite.
They're very get off my lawn types.
It also makes me wish James Cameron directed one Star Wars movie, at least.
Yeah.
It has a lot going on in it. It's very creative. The story's not much, but it's super creative, and it all makes sense to one man, which is James Cameron, and no one else.
We're
going to get three more of these now, apparently. We're going to get five.
I know.
We're going to get Avatar 2, 3, 4, and 5.
I didn't like the first one that much.
It wasn't that great. I had no idea why that was so popular. I know it was like over the top with the new special effects and stuff, but... This whole thing, it's stuff we've seen before, just 3 hours worth of it.
I don't need three hours of that.
No, you don't.
I have better things to do with my time.
It's very much like a video game. And the whole thing with the avatars and the people, I couldn't tell who was who. And like, there's somebody in there from like Danger Island. There's like a Chongo boy in there. And, he's like the colonel's son. And they have this whole father and son thing going on and parallels there. It's okay. I didn't even realize Kate Winslet was in it until the end of the movie when I saw her credit.
I've resigned myself to the fact that that's the Best Picture nominee I will not see before the Academy Awards.
It's good.
The rest of them are fair game.
Here's the other thing is I got to see it in the theater by myself, which is great. Wait 3 months until it's almost out of the theater and then go see it.
Yeah.
But in 3D too, didn't make a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, I'm kind of over that too.
Other than like things floating by, I noticed like in the sea, like things would float in front of me and I thought I was just like seeing things. You know how you get floaters as you get older?
Oh yeah.
I just thought it was me, but it was apparently part of the movie.
I can barely read through the floaters, so I know how that is.
What happened with you this week? Anything good? Did you watch The Last of Us?
I still haven't watched The Last of Us.
I watched the first two episodes of that. I'll wait for you.
And
we'll talk about next week.
Well, we're losing HBO Go Max next week.
Why?
We're not paying for it.
I'll let you watch mine if you want.
We haven't been paying for it for like 6 months because they kept screwing stuff up. And when they got... let me say this. If they had kept all of the vintage Sesame Street episodes... Mm-hmm. We would be continuing our subscription without hesitation. They got rid of them. All they've got is the last like 10 seasons, which is nonstop Elmo garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And without that, there just isn't enough there for me to justify $16 a month.
Mm.
You know, that's what it comes down to. I did see, because we have Netflix, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
I cannot recommend the movie highly enough.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Maybe I'll watch that tonight.
It's not going to win Best Picture. It is very likely to win Best Foreign Language Film.
Mm-hmm.
You would think it was a Hollywood film.
Where's it from, though?
It's German.
Oh, it's German.
Yeah. So it's a German adaptation of the German story about how we lost World War I.
Yeah.
And it is gripping from beginning to end. You would think... It was a Hollywood film, except for the fact that it is coherent and well made.
Nice.
You know, it's the kind of stuff that, it's the kind of movie that Hollywood used to make.
I bet I'm going to love it.
You will.
Yeah.
You will, because you'll sit there and you'll be like, oh my God, this is amazing. The cinematography in it is spectacular. I believe pretty much everything in it was shot using available light and natural light, except for obvious interiors.
Nice.
It's gripping from the beginning until the very, very end. And then
it falls apart.
And you'll sit there and you'll be like, I can't believe that.
And all of a sudden, like somebody from World War I's eating a Three Musketeers or something.
Then it ends and you're like,
it's just over.
War is bad.
Yeah, we know that.
I mean, that's
basically all it says.
It isn't. Well, All Quiet on the Western Front is, of course, one of the greatest modern, if not the greatest modern war novel ever written.
Yeah. And they've made All Quiet on the Western Front how many times?
It's been done plenty of times.
Yeah. And all pretty good.
It's interesting to see it made by Germans.
It won Best Picture once, right?
It did. Yeah. It's interesting to see it made by Germans because it's their story and the Germans haven't really had a crack at it. The Germans do not paint themselves as all that sympathetic in this.
Oh, that's interesting.
Although they absolutely have...
Do they smile? The Germans never smile.
They don't. Yeah. They don't have much regard for the French either.
Yeah. Who does?
Well, you get to see a more barbaric side of the French in this.
I have a very... I have a collectible French rifle. It was only dropped twice.
Nice.
Pristine condition. Yeah. No, I'm gonna check that one out. There's only a couple left. I still haven't seen The Women Talking.
That's a silent film.
Apparently, what he told me is a silent movie. And I haven't seen... what else haven't I seen? There's like one or two others,
I still need to see Tar, Triangle Sadness, Fablemans.
Tar's out of the theaters, pretty much. It's in like West Newton, and I ain't going to West Newton.
No, I'm not going to West Newton. No, but it's like a $5 rental on Amazon.
It is. Okay.
So
all right,
that
I can deal with that.
Triangle Sadness, I think, is just on Amazon. One of these is just on Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That's actually still in the theaters.
Oh, Fablemans. Yeah. Fablemans are trying to charge you $20 to watch that. That's not happening.
I already saw it. I didn't like it. I give it a D. It's Spielberg light, and I get to the point where it's like, don't you have anything to say before you're dead, dude?
Well,
you know, enough. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, other than, oh, my mother had an affair, and, you know, I should have left earlier in order to become a filmmaker. You became the biggest filmmaker of all time.
But here's the thing,
I
don't care.
I'm
not interested in knowing about him and his story and the myth building.
Here's the spoiler alert. He's Jewish.
Yeah.
He comes from a Jewish family.
I never would have known.
Yeah, and he's got money.
Never would have known.
He's Jewish and he's got money.
Please go.
Those are his problems.
Please go make something like
and
Munich.
And he liked seeing movies when he was a kid.
Yeah. Please go make something like Munich again, because that was a really, really good movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I like Munich.
I love Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's a good movie.
Jaws. I love 1941. Nobody does, but I do. Even Spielberg doesn't love 1941.
Yeah, he's correct. It's a terrible film.
I love it. It's
so awful.
It came out at a time when I was 9 years old, and things blew up, and I just thought it was awesome. After Star Wars and seeing those big pictures, I was ready for another big one. And 1941 was it for me. I love it.
Terrible.
I love seeing stuff blow up.
Terrible.
You
got to
watch
movie.
It again.
If you, there's,
it's Belushi's best film.
It is not Belushi. There's plenty of good movies where stuff
it's
blows
not Continents
blows
Divide.
Up.
It's 1941.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's great in it. Dan Aykroyd's nuts in it. John Candy's in it. Slim Pickens is in it. Come on.
Go watch the Blues Brothers if you want to see John Belushi and stuff blow up.
I love the Blues Brothers, but 1941, better film.
So bad.
No, I love it.
So bad. Terrible, terrible.
Should have been
movie.
Up for Best Picture, 79.
No, it rightfully was not.
I don't know. Still a great one. It's better than Fablemans, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say because I haven't seen it, but everything that I've seen the trailer, I've seen everything leading up to it, and I'm just not interested.
There's something odd about the wife in it, too. The one that plays his mom is Michelle. What's his name?
Michelle Yeoh?
No, Heath Ledger's. Heath Ledger's.
Michelle Rodriguez?
No.
Michelle.
What is her name? you'll know right away. She was also in Manchester by the Sea. And
Michelle Williams.
Yes, Michelle Williams. Just bizarre. She's creepy in it. It's like it's weird. She's got like this weird bob haircut and just creepy. She looks like a little Cupid doll, but creepier.
Nice.
No, creepy. Judd Hirsch is good in it though. He's the best part of the movie. Even Paul Dano there. He looks out of place.
I don't think Judd Hirsch has been bad in anything ever.
And here's the thing too. Seth Rogen, he always brings a movie down a letter grade to me. He like plays the uncle that she has the affair with. You see Michelle Williams having an affair with Seth Rogen? Come on.
You know, when you're married, things change.
Eh. I don't know. Don't see it. That's my opinion.
When you're married, things change. I don't have any problems with
I'd
Seth
rather
Rogen.
Watch Avatar 3 more times than see the Fablemans again.
Oof.
That's my review of the Fablemans.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Kimmel returning to host the Oscars. Explain to me why Jimmy Kimmel is famous. Did we really need did we really have to lose Adam Carolla for Jimmy Kimmel?
He's,
I mean, come on. Jimmy Kimmel is a lesser of the entertainers, isn't he?
Jimmy Kimmel, this is my theory on Jimmy Kimmel, right?
I can't stand him. I've never liked him. He's boring as hell to me.
He used to party with everybody. Right.
Well, he was the frat guy that also didn't do the dangerous things, but he always clapped for the guy that did.
But here's the thing, right? Jimmy Kimmel was in the car the night somebody killed a drifter and knows where the body is. That's why Jimmy Kimmel has a career. Yeah. Because Jimmy Kimmel should not. Adam Carolla should have much more of a career than Jimmy Kimmel.
He's hilarious. Jimmy Kimmel's awful.
Jimmy Kimmel is like a guy that you can prop up and he will say things and that's it. You know, he can do the job passably. He doesn't bring anything to it.
Yeah.
But because he knows where the dead drifter is, they keep sticking their necks out for him.
Yep. In the background, we have Max Headroom and The Art of Noise with Paranomia. We were talking a little bit about The Art of Noise last week, similar to the Prince song we heard last week.
Yeah.
Bob George.
I got
Max Headroom. Did you like Max Headroom?
Oh, I love Max Headroom.
Me too. I loved that.
I love Matt Frewer.
Matt Frewer's great. Who played Max Headroom.
Yes. The series does not hold up as well today as it did when it came out back in the 1980s.
No.
Because everything turned out to be far worse than they predicted it would be.
Yeah.
And keep in mind that Max Headroom is set in a dystopian nightmare ruled by corporations.
Yeah. This was set in 1985. So right in the middle of the 80s, they created this Max Headroom character. Yeah. And he was popping up everywhere. He had a whole series of Pepsi commercials at one point, right?
Max Headroom was like one of the icons of the mid-1980s.
Yeah.
And it was basically Matt Frewer in makeup with a CGI background.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
Yeah, really good stuff. And then The Art of Noise decided to throw him on their album. And
everybody
have him
wanted
back,
him. He did a Christmas. We played his Christmas song in the past.
Yes, we did. That's right. Yeah. And this is the background is Paranomia, which was a combination of insomnia and paranoia.
I've got the 12-inch dance single of this somewhere in my home.
Yeah, I just played that.
Yeah.
This is the 7-inch.
Yeah. I had the 12-inch of it. And it's I used to play it in the morning before when I was getting ready for high school. Great piece of music.
It's funny because we were talking about this last week, and I was thinking about, this is episode 3 of What Is This? And I was thinking we should be like the Marvel Universe where it's self-contained, but if you're a listener from last week or the week before, you get to enjoy the fact that when we make a Bagel reference or Max Headroom Art of Noise reference, you heard it last week.
Does that mean we need an end credit sequence now for the show?
An end credit sequence.
Yeah, do we need something that teases what next week's show is going to be?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that.
We can't.
I like bookending it with what is this, though, because Mallow Max comes in and he's ready to roll.
Yeah, Mallow Max comes in. He's
comes in ready to roll.
Get out of here. Why are you still in the station?
I know.
I have my records. Please leave.
I know.
He came in with a whole gang last week.
He had like 8 people. They didn't even know what was going on.
Yeah. They were all like standing around intimidating us. Like, why are you old people here? Get out of our college radio station.
Because we have experience.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to play a record tonight, too.
No, you're not.
I am. I brought in 2 records. You're going to love one of them once. I'm not going to say what it is now, but you're going to love one of them because you've heard this one before.
You haven't heard
the other one.
You have faith that any of that equipment will work.
I have Best Friends for Francis tonight, which is a story.
And I will tell you that none of that over there is going to work.
It's from 1979. If you're Bella Max made it work, I'll make it work.
If you're going to play a record,
I'll make it work
playing
better.
A record on the thing in back of you.
And then I got this one, Snap, Crackle, Pop. You remember that one?
I remember that one.
Yeah, Kellogg's. You love cereal.
I think there's at least one of the Jays with Jamie is on that album.
Yeah.
Because one of them went on to become the voice of, one of them, Crackle, I think.
Crackle, yeah.
Yeah.
The Crackle Bar, not as good as a Nestle Crunch. True or false?
It's the same thing.
No.
Yeah, it is.
No.
It is.
See, I love a Hershey's, but I love the Nestle Crunch more
than
the Crackle.
It's chocolate with puffed rice.
No,
which chocolate do you like better?
They must take the puffed rice from like a different continent or something. Because
no, it's the same puffed
it's
rice.
It's not as good.
The only difference is the chocolate. The Crackle Bar, one of them is thicker than the other.
Yeah. So you have the Hershey's assortment on Halloween, the small ones now, because they're all miniatures.
Yeah.
There's a Special Dark, there's a Mr. Good Bar, there's a Crackle, there's a regular Hershey's. Which one do you take?
Special Dark is the only good thing that Hershey makes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I think that would be one of the ones. Those are the ones that are usually left at the end of the night.
Which makes me happy, because I'll walk in and I'll swoop in and take them all.
I told
you.
Yeah.
The rest of their chocolate is terrible. I have never liked Hershey chocolate.
Yeah, I think I've told you this before. I went to...
love the Special Dark Bar. Never liked a Hershey bar.
I was part of the product. I was part of the product testing for the Special Dark with my brother. Me and my brother Eric. Russ was too old. And we had gone with my father. We went to Hershey Park in Pennsylvania. Man, was a great time. Great roller coasters. And you get to go through and see the chocolate made and stuff. And I remember they had these giant, you know, chocolate bars for like $30, $70. It was just crazy. And somebody just came, kind of started talking to us. And they're like, are you buying candy? And you guys want to have some candy? It was kind of weird, you know. They didn't come out of a van or anything. They were in Hershey Park. So my father's like, yeah, take them for an hour or whatever. So they bring us in the back room, and they put like 8 bars of chocolate in front of me.
Is there a clown involved in this anywhere?
No. There was only about five of us. There was only like 5 of us. We were all kids. I think we had to be under 12 or something, and Russ was too old. And they gave us like 8 different things of chocolate, and they said, which ones do you like the best? And they gave us like a little survey to fill out. And I remember I filled them out, and my brother, you know, he took a sweet time. I was just chowing down on all the chocolate.
Sure.
I'm like, let's go on some more rides. And, and then they gave us bags to bring home, and it turned out the Special Dark was part of that. They were doing a new advertisement for the Special Dark Bar. They were rolling that out, and we were part of the product testing.
Nice.
For it. They wanted to make an adult chocolate bar that kids didn't like. So they were looking for us to say we didn't like it, and of course... I said I didn't really like it. I liked the milk chocolate better. My brother said he liked the dark chocolate.
Yeah, I was a kid that liked the Special Dark Bar, too.
Yeah.
But I remember as a kid, everybody was like, "Yeah, no, that thing's terrible." It's like, no, that thing's delicious.
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather take milk chocolate over dark any day.
Hershey Park, I hear, is wonderful. The thing that I've never understood...
It's great, and you get to see
Hershey
the Amish,
Park
too, out there. Yeah.
Is, well, the Amish are, you know, cowering in the distance, like waving pitchforks at you for embracing modern technology.
Yep. Silently judging.
Yeah, they got rid of the horse and buggy ride. Now the Amish don't come anymore. Mm. They really get upset about the photographs on the roller coaster. But to me, if you're going to run Hershey Park and you're going to have like your candy-themed amusement park at your candy factory, why don't you have a flume ride where you ride giant marshmallows down a river of chocolate?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Why isn't that a thing?
I agree.
And instead of splashing, you know, getting covered with water, you get covered with chocolate at the end. And then you can lick it off whoever you're with.
Each other.
Yeah.
Well, that gets to be a little adult. Yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
Kids love licking each other.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. What is this? What do you got for us today?
What have I got for us today?
Want to play us a tune?
So we were supposed to be doing love songs this week, right?
Well, I see that this is
see
the funny
this is
part.
What you tell me. You
this
tell
is
me,
the funny
yeah,
part.
You tell me we're gonna do love songs,
no, I do
and
have
then you,
love songs.
You changed the theme last night and didn't tell me about it, right?
Well, what is this can be anything?
Except a different theme than the one you told me we were going to do last week.
No, here's the thing. Valentine's Day was yesterday.
Yes.
So why would we have love songs after Valentine's
you
Day?
You should have thought of that last Wednesday when you told me we were doing love songs.
I already have a full playlist encompassing both love songs.
You've set me up to fail is what's happened here.
I just give it a lot of thought.
You've set me up to fail.
I set up the universe.
You've set me up to fail.
No. You can be specific. What do you got?
Well, ripped from the headlines. Coincidentally, I have something with
balloons.
Raquel Welch on it.
Oh, nice. Wait, why is she in the headlines?
We found out this afternoon that Raquel Welch has passed away.
You're kidding me?
No, she passed away.
I didn't know this.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. She died.
Oh, I didn't know that.
82 after a brief illness.
Oh. I liked Raquel Welch.
Everybody liked Raquel Welch. If you grew up in the '70s,
million BC,
really liked. Yeah. Everyone on Facebook is posting that image, that still from 1
million BC. See, I wasn't on Facebook today. I was working.
Yeah. So she was 82 years old.
Yeah.
She did tons and tons and tons of stuff over the years.
Yeah. But we remember her from the dinosaur movie.
Yeah. Everybody remembers her from 1 million BC because that was...
I got that on Super 8
at
home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was sort of the prototypical, like...
She's in a deer skin.
Fantasy
yep.
woman.
Yeah, if you're going to fight a dinosaur, you got to have a good woman around to look at, it worth your while.
When you look at depictions of...
Otherwise, just get eaten by the dinosaur.
When you look at images of cave women or future primitive women or whatever kind of fantasy sci-fi entertainment it is, it all goes back to Raquel Welch. She established that look, and she established that physical type.
She was a pinup.
She was.
More than an actress, she was more of a pinup.
But she was also like very athletic as a pinup. And the pinups prior to that had been a little bit more curvy than she was.
Yeah.
So this is sort of the...
She was the beginning of thick with two C's.
No. She's the reprieve from thick.
Oh.
The curvy women are thick. Raquel is like athletic. No, she's like woman warrior.
Athletic with two C's.
She's woman warrior coming to kick your butt.
Yeah. Wow, she was 82.
Yeah.
That ain't that old.
No, that's not.
Yeah.
Actually, by today's standards.
Especially as we get older. I'm like, that ain't old.
Yeah. But by the standards of someone born 82 years ago, 82 is a good run.
Yeah.
So in the 1960s, she was in a movie called Bedazzled.
Not the one with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley.
That was the remake.
You
don't want to talk about the remake.
Yeah, but Brendan Fraser is a big deal right now.
I know, but the remake...
And Elizabeth Hurley I could talk about every day.
No, the original had Raquel Welch and Dudley Moore.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is news to me, too.
You didn't know that Bedazzled was a remake?
No! Wait. No, I didn't! And I'm a movie guy.
See, if you weren't so busy...
I love Dudley Moore.
You weren't so busy shifting the theme of the show.
Or as I like to call him, Dudley No More.
If you weren't so busy changing up the theme of the show, you'd know that Raquel Welch died.
I didn't even know we had a theme to the show. This is news to me.
Well, you said, last week, you're like, hey, let's do love songs next week. I'm like, okay, I'll go get some love songs.
Well, because I thought Valentine's Day fell after today, but it fell yesterday. I got to get a new calendar.
Do you know where you are?
I need a new Apple Watch.
Did you suffer a head injury when you hurt your foot?
I have a lot of things going on.
I have a 2-year-old.
Yeah. And?
I love how
having a child always is an excuse for people.
See,
now.
This is
I have a 2-year-old. I can do anything.
This is the thing. Yeah. Because you don't have one, you don't know. Like...
Yeah, but now I'm single.
Whatever your definition of busy is...
Oh, I'm super busy.
...is utterly meaningless to a parent.
But I chose not to have children.
No, I'm not. That's fine.
So I'm busy in my own way.
That's fine. I chose not to have... Well, I didn't have children for a very long time in my life. So been, the single adult. I'm like, I'm so busy. As a parent, I have no time at all for you're busy. You're busy. Yeah. You're busy would be a relaxing getaway.
That's
for
incorrect.
Me.
No.
Oh yes,
that's
it
incorrect.
Would.
No, I'm very busy.
Yes, it would.
No,
I will. I'll even take your foot injury.
No, you would not.
Yeah, I will.
No, you would not.
I'm not kidding you. I will.
Yeah.
I will because you could pop some meds and sleep.
That's not true.
Which is something I will never do again.
No, I don't pop meds. I like the pain. I feel the pain. Like I'm like James T. Kirk in Wrath of Khan. I need my pain.
I have a glass of wine now and I'm done.
See, I don't drink wine. I don't have any time for
wine. No, but I mean, it's like I have a glass of wine or beer and it's like, oh, that's it. I'm out. Yeah.
Well, apparently there's a love theme for the show today.
Well, there was supposed to be, but anyway.
I don't know. I never saw your playlist. What do you got? Something on Raquel Welch. I know that much.
I got this. So Raquel Welch is on this. This is from the original version of Bedazzled.
How long is it?
It's like 2.5-3 minutes.
All right.
And it's a song of unrequited love.
I might pee.
Okay.
All right.
You knock me out.
I don't want you.
fill me with inertia.
See, there you go. There's nice. A song. There you go. That's Jeannie and Faye, two women singing.
They're pretty good.
They are pretty good. That was from the WFMU 365 Day Project. Irving Berlin song from 1950. It was in Call Me Madame, a musical comedy originally performed by Ethel Merman. So there's two ladies, and they were probably rich ladies that had a couple cocktails and a couple of smokes and decided to cut a disc one night.
Either that or they had a husband who was a recording hobbyist.
That's true.
Might have been making some records in the boudoir.
Pretty good. And some guy found that in a Goodwill. It was just said, you're just in love. And then we know them as Jeannie and Faye because they call each other by name in there. But we don't know much more about them. But pretty good on What Is This. So that's the stuff I like. And that's what we're kind of bringing back here, too, in the 365 Day Project from WFMU. These odd audio recordings, and then we give a little explanation on what it is you're actually hearing. And I like that Raquel Welch thing, but I didn't know about Bedazzled. Peter Cook was the devil.
Peter Cook was the devil in the original,
think this movie exists. I think you're making it up.
Which is very, very
1967 movie by Stanley Donen.
Yeah, it's very, very swinging 60s.
Yeah?
It's got that...
Tongue-in-cheek?
Well, there's a certain groove to those films, like mm-hmm. all those films that came out in the late 60s and the early 70s out of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
None of them make a heck of a lot of sense. They're all kind of high concept,
huh,
lunacy going on. If you like The Magic Christian, you'll love this.
Yeah. Stanley Donen directed this Singing in the Rain. He did Seven Brides for Seven Brothers on yep. the Town. All right.
But this is Stanley Donen working in service of Peter Cook and Dudley Moore.
I like both of them.
And
I like Raquel Welch.
It's got some of Stanley Donen's touches about it, but it's also like very, very different from a lot of Stanley Donen films.
Yeah.
It's fun. But you've got to know a bit. This is sort of the problem that's set in with a lot of stuff, like Monty Python, for example.
Sure.
You go back and watch the old Monty Python episodes, we grew up around that time, so we get the references.
It was hard, though, at first when we were a kid.
But if you're...
I was just like, I didn't know half the places they were talking about until I actually visited England when I was 18. I'm like, oh, this is all the places Monty Python talked about.
But if you're a kid now, like, everything about that is just completely alien to you.
Yeah.
It may as well be a different planet.
Mm. Yeah.
Douglas Adams overcame a lot of that by writing in a sort of general, universal sense about things. But a lot of those movies that were considered hysterically funny back in the day just really don't quite do it today the way that they did back then. And Bedazzled is one of them. It's forgotten kind of for a reason because it's a...
Well, because the Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley one came out, which is probably 100 times better.
I wouldn't go that far.
Come on. Anything with Elizabeth Hurley is up 2 letter grades.
Elizabeth Hurley's great. I got nothing against Elizabeth Hurley.
Fantastic.
But... the comedy of it is that sort of bland American comedy that gets really tiresome really fast.
Yeah, I didn't see it for that.
The original,
I saw it for Elizabeth Hurley.
The original has some edge to it.
Like, doesn't she like feed him an apple at one point or
yes.
something? Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Is that right? Garden of Eden, right? The apple. Isn't that how they get kicked out? Right.
I saw the commercial where Eve ate the avocado, and everybody turned nudist after that.
Oh, Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
How was your Super Bowl?
I enjoyed watching Rihanna play Super Mario.
Oh my God.
At halftime.
You know what's funny?
That was fun.
How is it that I'm the only one that realized that Rihanna was pregnant? It was basically an entire room of people asking if she had just gained weight or if she was pregnant. I'm like, she's obviously pregnant.
Yeah.
How is it? How is it the single guy knows that? It's because it's danger.
Well, it's because
danger. Will Robinson.
She comes out wearing
pregnant
that
woman.
She comes out wearing that outfit, and everybody expects that halfway through the show she's going to rip it off, and there's some flowing gown under it.
You know what?
She's going to rip that off, and there's a swimsuit under it.
I was hoping,
and then
they
she's going to rip
away.
That off, and there's like a little man like clinging to the front of her, covering her private parts.
Do you really need to see the ass swipe from a pregnant woman?
I don't.
Do you really need to see an ass swipe? In the middle of a football game.
That's why you don't reveal that until after the performance.
Yeah.
So that people aren't sitting there going like, ooh, you're pregnant. No.
Even if she weren't, no. It's so freaking tacky.
It's
so tacky.
It's music today.
I don't care if you're a 10 out of 10. Nobody wants to see you wipe your bum.
It's why,
in the middle of a football
by
game.
By the way, this is why...
I don't know. Maybe some people do. I don't.
This is why the kids like the K-pop, because they don't do that.
Yeah.
They're kind of wholesome over in the K-pop.
Honestly, I would rather have seen the K-pop.
Yeah.
I would rather have seen them on the levels, probably jumping up and down to each other. That would have been kind of cool.
But they're not going to put K-pop on an American sporting event.
I like the levels. They might. You never know.
I like the Super Mario thing.
The world's becoming more and more Japanese as we go. You know,
the music,
pop culture stuff.
The music was good. I mean, it was one of the better halftime shows in recent years.
All right, name me 3 Rihanna songs.
See, there's the one that she does, and then there's that other.
I know, Love Me How You Lie with Eminem. That's about it.
Yeah,
but it's like we're in our 50s, so you know, whatever. But it's like, yeah, who cares? I don't know. I was watching. I'm like, yeah, who cares? You know, space program in the background.
Congratulations to Ben Affleck for being the
It's filmed right up the street
for the second best Dunkin' Donuts commercial starring an Affleck brother.
There was honestly nothing to it. I didn't think it was the J-Lo showing up was fun, but I mean, otherwise it's just like, yeah, whatever. He filmed that in about 10 minutes a couple of weeks
ago. Here's the thing: the one his brother did for Saturday Night Live
was fantastic.
Is way better. And yeah. I don't know.
And Bill Burr.
This is my conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that one was good.
Right? Yeah. This is my conspiracy theory, is that Dunkin' Donuts made this commercial to stop people from watching the Saturday Night Live thing over and over again. And to sort of mess up those search results. Because everybody's looking up like Affleck, SNL, Dunkin' Donuts.
I think it's just, you know, it's reaffirming the brand is now Dunkin'.
Yeah,
that's what I got.
No, I think
it's
they're
not DD. It's not Dunkin' Donuts. I think it's Dunkin'.
I think they're trying to reclaim some ground from the Casey Affleck commercial, which is far better and far more accurate. By the way,
they still showed Medford, Mass. Yeah,
yeah.
But they wanted to make it less negative, I guess. I don't know. If anything, they're selling coffee. Dunkin' Donuts ain't going anywhere. They'll be here long after we're on the way to the Dodo.
Why else are you going to get Ben Affleck to do your first ever Super Bowl commercial?
Was it really their first Super Bowl?
The first Super Bowl commercial they've ever done.
Yeah.
Why are you getting Ben Affleck unless you're trying to push back against the Casey Affleck thing?
I think it was for branding.
But that's the whole point. Yeah. It's like somebody at Dunkin' is sitting around being like, we can't have this Saturday Night Live thing be how we're represented anymore.
Yeah.
Are there any other Affleck brothers? As a matter of fact, yes, there is one. Maybe you've heard of him.
I don't know. It was pretty funny. I liked the Steve Martin one. That was pretty good. And Travolta singing is always good, but, you know, I wish it were for something other than what it was.
So,
was it Verizon or T-Mobile?
I used to do this on the old show, which was, you know, 5 days after the Super Bowl, do you remember what the commercials were about?
Well, that's the thing. It's mostly star power.
Right.
But what about the Breaking Bad one? Fantastic.
But what were they selling?
Those pop crackers.
Really?
Popcorn.
I mean, I remember seeing them. I don't know what they were selling. Same thing.
It's those little pop things. They're good.
Same thing with Travolta. I thought that was a commercial for, like, Quicken Loans.
It was, like, 5G for T-Mobile.
Yeah, I thought it was a Quicken Loans ad.
$50 5G.
Until I looked it up the next day. I didn't think any of this year's commercials were really that good.
Mm.
They completely pooched the M&M's thing.
I didn't even see that one. What was that?
Like they.
I hate the M&M's commercials. I hate those stupid M&M's.
They did this whole big stunt where they were getting rid of their spokes candies because there was too much controversy and everybody got bent out of shape. And then they were like, Maya Rudolph is going to be our new spokesperson. And everybody immediately was like, this is a Super Bowl advertising stunt.
Yeah.
The Maya Rudolph ad was hilarious.
I didn't see it.
Because they were going to rebrand the candies as Ma and Yaz, and they were going to put a little clam, a little piece of clam in every candy.
Ugh.
So it'd be M&M's with clam.
Ugh.
And it was brilliant. It was hilarious.
Ugh.
But then they get to the Super Bowl, and they don't do anything with it. Like, all of a sudden, boom, the spokes candies are back.
You know,
it's like, what?
The only candy that could be a person is Mr. Peanut. That's it. And peanuts aren't really a candy, but they're a nice snack.
The Mr. Peanut
but
roast.
I don't need to see that. Yeah, that was,
Yeah, one good joke on it. You know, I'm gonna make this quick so you can go ruin some brownies.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
I don't know who the guy in the sweatshirt was. That was supposed to be a big reveal. I think the guy in the toucan suit was Richard Sherman. I think that was supposed to be a bigger reveal.
In the commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
They did.
I saw Jeffrey Ross, and that was it, and I'm like, he still looked like a slob.
They did the Caddyshack thing.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Come on. What do we need that for?
And it's all these blink-and-you'll-miss-it cameos by people who you generally don't know. Michael O'Donoghue was there.
And none of them were even born during Caddyshack. Michael O'Donoghue, he's dead, isn't he?
No.
The Saturday Night Live Michael O'Donoghue?
No, the one that played Danny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
He was in it.
Wow.
He was the one that whispered "Be the ball" to Serena.
Really?
Before she made the shot.
Do we need Serena playing golf?
Did you know that was Tony Romo as Carl Spackler?
Oh, yeah, yeah, he looked he was recognizable.
Barely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, here's a half a second glimpse.
But
like,
here's the other
that?
Thing. Here's the other thing. Get Bill Murray. Get Chevy Chase. Otherwise, forget
it. They're not doing that.
Otherwise, forget it.
They're going to come in and they're going to want money.
Of course they are, but you're paying for the advertising. Get some talent.
Well, Tony Romo, I love Tony Romo. Tony Romo is Carl Spackler, is genius. Mm. Just give me a shot where I can recognize, oh, that's Tony Romo as Carl Spackler, and not have to go look it up on the internet.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You know, I know the point of these things is that you're supposed to sit there and watch them on your phone and, like, freeze frame on everything and be like, oh, that's so-and-so and that's so-and-so.
I ain't spending any time doing that on my phone.
I'm not doing that.
No.
I'm not doing that.
I'm too old for that stuff now. I don't care. I watch it once. If I don't remember it, I don't remember it.
With Philly fans, though.
You want another love song? Is that what I'm hearing? Or can I move on to talking about change? Remember how you were talking about Buffalo Nichols last week? And we were talking about the... My favorite coin. Do you remember
Buffalo
what my
nickel
favorite was? I was almost going to give you a Buffalo nickel.
Really?
But since you gave me a little attitude, I'm not going to give you a Buffalo nickel.
And I don't know what attitude. I mean, you just changed the theme of the show.
But I thought,
like, hey, just come in here and roll with it. Okay.
No, because I have a love song, but I also have something great. I'd rather play a What Is This, I think, right now. Oh, I got a good one. I got a good one for you. So for people who aren't married, all right, back years ago, when somebody did get married, you'd have a stag party. And they used to have stag records for stag parties.
Yes, they do.
And I don't know if you've heard this one before. Do you know Terry O'Mason?
Yes, I'm very... Terry Cupcake O'Mason.
Yes, it's Terry Cupcake O'Mason. And she has two songs that I have for this week. They're both about a minute and a half long. But I thought these would be pretty fun to do after Valentine's Day. So a stag party would be like a bunch of guys getting in the cellar and listen to like raunchy records or there'd be like a stand-up person. There'd be a woman on there doing a risque song and then some stand-up and you know, maybe you'd have a stripper there or something like that.
If you were really lucky, you might get
50s,
some
60s.
You might get some 8mm porno.
God.
Because that was that's the thing back in the day, too. What the porno came out on 8mm, and maybe you knew a guy who had some.
So after Valentine's Day, this second one is especially more appropriate. It's called I'm Late. And the first one is called Cupcakes. So this is Terry Cupcake O'Mason from 1960 from Adam Stag Party 2 is the name of the release. On What Is This? It is Cupcakes and... I'm late. Here we go.
A couple weeks ago, I asked my boyfriend home for dinner. I fixed a nice steak, and I made some biscuits, baked a cake, and a pie. But he didn't seem very impressed with it all, and it sort of hurt my feelings until after dinner, I found out that he liked to nibble on my cupcakes. He just went nuts about their taste. They seem to melt right in his mouth. I've never had complainers. They're smooth as silk and filled with milk. And he said they come in such cute containers. Oh, you should see my lovely cupcakes. They are much too nice to go to waste. I asked him if he'd like a bite, and now he bites them every night. He likes to nibble on my cupcakes. He likes to nibble on my cupcakes. Just like his mother's, they're just right and left. They're not too big, they're not too small, they fit right in his grip. They're not too hard, not too soft. And there's a raisin on each tip. Oh, you should see my lovely cupcakes. They made him raise a hearty appetite. They're juicier than any steak, and he found out that they weren't fake. He likes to nibble on my cupcakes. And this guy has always eaten. I'm late, I'm late, I'm in an awful state. What can I do? I'm sad and blue. It's not my rent that's overdue. I'm late, I'm late, I've checked on every date. According to my diary, I'm sure that it was you. 'Cause Sam was down in Alabama and Joe was in St. Louis. I'm sure that it was not Pierre, such things he doesn't do. I'm late, I'm late, I'm in an awful state. Because you're such an early bird, I'm late, I'm late, I'm late. That night at 8, when you asked me for a date, could I anticipate my fate? I'm sure that I would hesitate. I'm vexed, I'm hexed, Don't know what's coming next. If you were not so oversexed, I'd still be underweight. I know it wasn't Jack or Mac. I know it wasn't Lou. I'm sure that it was not Pierre, because he's in love with you. Tonight at 8, I'm gonna hop a freight. Thanks to that oyster stew you ate, I'm late. I'm late. And my husband is sterile. I'm late.
Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
Terry Cupcake O'Mason. Pretty good. That's a stag party I wouldn't mind going to. She sounds sexy. Got a nice nice voice. She's got some guy on the piano.
She was one of those nightclub entertainers.
Yeah.
Traveled the country singing songs like that and selling her albums after the show.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Not a bad thing to do.
No. So you'd go to the dinner theater, you'd see Terry Cupcake O'Mason, and then buy an album after the show. She'd sign it for you. And
I saw Joan Jett and the Heartbreakers documentary. Well, it was mostly about Joan Jett. It was pretty good. You know, she kind of had it rough, but she kind of made it rough for herself, you know, but she's still pretty good.
Yeah.
She had her ups and downs. That was kind of fun to watch. Not bad.
I
think it was on Hulu.
I like the Pat Benatar's.